Today we have Mr. Ilyodor Filimonov, an Aleut from St. George Island.
I am Ilyodor Filimonov. I was born and raised on St. George Island, Alaska, which is one of the five islands that make up the Pribilof Islands, which is the second largest island. And my family background, the Aleuts on the Pribilof Islands, St. Paul and St. George, have occupied the Pribilof Islands for nearly 200 years. They were brought there from Unalaska District and a couple other places along the Aleutian chain. I am an Aleut, and with a mixture of Russian along with the rest of my family being of the same mixture. And it was in 1942, when I was just 2 months old, we were evacuated to Southeast Alaska to a place called the Funter Bay, which is on Admiralty Island. This was during the war years, and we were brought back to the islands in 1944. And I attended a grade school on St. George Island, grades 1 through 8, under the Fish and Wildlife Service school. And I took the 9th grade correspondence school on St. George Island and attended Mount Edgecombe High School for 3 years and graduated in 1961. And I attended St. Tikhon's Theological Seminary in South Canaan, Pennsylvania from 1963 to 64, 67. I graduated in 67 with a diploma. And looking back on my high school days at Mount Edgecombe, Alaska, I think these 3 years were one of my loneliest years, really being first time away from home, and the climate and the surroundings were much different than I was used to out on the Pribilofs.
Ed, I'd just like to break in here. You mentioned that Mount Edgecombe and going to school at Mount Edgecombe was some of your loneliest years, and you mentioned the weather being one of the factors. Could you elaborate more on some of the other areas of loneliness that occurred to you at Mount Edgecombe? I know there was other Aleut kids there, but I'd like to hear more. We have many, you might say, students going to Mount Edgecombe, and they might be experiencing the same things that you experienced in the 60s.
Yeah, I feel, well, just for one thing, is just being away from home makes you lonely. Being away from your parents, your brothers and sisters, and how things are strange to you.
Could the food have been some of the factors, not having your own food or eating in the cafeteria style?
Yes, all this had definitely were factors.
What was it like to go to a school with, you might say, 400 kids from all over Alaska? As you know, Native Alaskans are different, just as non-natives are. Did you feel the difference from the other Native kids as far as them being different from you? How was it like?
Well, I think this was one good experience, getting to know people from all parts of Alaska that I was after a while I was able to just look at a person and just about pinpoint from which area he was from and get to know their thoughts on and their how they lived out in their villages. This was one good education that I received by getting to know my fellow Alaskans much more better.
The school you attended after you graduated from Mount Edgecombe, you mentioned a seminar school. Could you go into more detail about the school and what effect the Mount Edgecombe time you spent at Mount Edgecombe had on your studying at, say, in the school in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think by going to Mount Edgecombe, I learned some of the rules and regulations that was imposed on us that we had to follow, which some of them were good and some were bad, of course. But by attending the theological school in Pennsylvania, I was really not restricted as such as I was in Mount Edgecombe. Like someone was breathing over your neck at all times. And the thing that made it more enjoyable for me in Pennsylvania was that I went there on my own, on my own choosing, and I paid my own way through all them years and even the transportation. And I know I had to get the education, and I worked hard at it. But I would say that my years, 4 years in Pennsylvania, were four of my, what I would call my, one of my better years.
The state of Pennsylvania is quite a ways away from Alaska, and your loneliness there was not like the loneliness that you experienced at Mount Edgecombe, is that right?
Right. Well, first of all, I had matured a little more, and I knew what I wanted, I knew what I was getting into, whereas I didn't really know when I first went down to Mount Edgecombe. But like I stated, I was looking forward to the church life and learning of something that which I want to be my work in my in later years of my life.
You mentioned the church. Could you tell us more about the church and your involvement in the church today? And also, the past, if you can, history that you know of the church here in Alaska and its impact on the Aleut people in Alaska.
Well, in 1794, with the settling of the first missionaries in Alaska and lasting until the sale of Alaska to America in 1867, the Orthodoxy in America existed within the bounds of the Russian Empire, and this was a Russian mission on Russian territory, and the church in Alaska was under the was called the Russian Orthodox Church. And the faith was introduced to the Aleuts in 1794. And the Aleuts had accepted Orthodoxy, and they and has been about 178 years here in Alaska. And I think it had a great impact and a very profound impact on the Aleut people, that the whole life of the Aleuts, after losing much after the Russians came, especially those that came just for the fur seals and the sea otters, had really taken away much from the Aleuts. And I think the Aleuts above all have lost more in relation to their culture and even arts than any other Alaska native today. When the Russians came, when Alaska was discovered, it is said that there were approximately 20,000 Aleuts, but about the time of the sale of Alaska, there was probably no more than 2,000 Aleuts, and nothing was recorded, nothing was written. The Aleuts did not have a written history until the Russians came. But many of the old people, the elders that knew the culture, that knew the arts, were killed or they died from diseases and in wars and on their hunting parties. And much, much was lost. But the Aleut people, especially with Vinyaminov, John Vinyaminov, who was a priest who later became a bishop of Alaska, had put down the Aleut language with the Cyrillic alphabets with some changes and had written some of the prayers. And the three Gospels have been translated. The Divine Services, the Divine Liturgy, and the Vigil, Vespers and Matins, were translated into Aleut. But the Aleuts now, today, do not use too much of the Aleut language in their services, their church services. I think one of the reasons why this happened was because that the Russian priests that came here had imposed upon the Aleut people to use Slavonic, which is about the same as the Russian language, for their own convenience, that they did not want to take the time to learn the language. It was too difficult. So therefore, we had to use Slavonic for their satisfaction and not necessarily to the satisfaction and to the benefit of the Aleut people. Therefore, I feel now that the trend of the Aleuts should be to use more of the native language, whether it be in Eskimo, Tlingit, or Aleut, in their divine services, along with English, and eventually that the Slavonic, after some period of time, will be phased out. And the life of the Aleuts after the Russians had come to Alaska, and when the mission was started in 1794, had begun to look at the church as their center of life. And it was in their whole daily life, from day to day and from year to year, that everything they did was centered around the church. But today, with the new times, with the changing times, this is becoming less and less. But nevertheless, your faith in God is still strong, and in they cling to the Orthodox religion.
Today, as you mentioned, the involvement with the church is less. Are your services scheduled regularly, or did, when you were growing up, did you have more church services to go to? Has the services decreased for your attendance?
No, I don't think the services have decreased really any, but I didn't really say that the church life in itself has decreased any. But I think within pressures and the time and the changing attitudes, and with the more of the white culture or the outside interference, and with all the some evils of the world, like alcohol, or things has attributed some to the church attendance itself. But even today, many of our Aleuts still look to the church as a center of their life. But like I said, I don't believe it is much as it was perhaps 50 years or 100 years ago.
Your congregation, or the number of people that belong to the church today, does it decrease as people move to places, say, like Anchorage, or do the people still attend services as they do, say, like in St. George Island? What I'm trying to ask is, your congregation, does it fluctuate very much?
Well, it varies from village to village. At one time, there were perhaps more priests that were servicing the different villages on certain occasions during the year. But many of these villages have been neglected, with no priest assigned there or no one coming coming at least once a year. Therefore, the church life in some of the villages are almost nil. This is really not true so much out in the Aleutians, but I think in different parts of Alaska, where there was once an Orthodox community, no longer is an Orthodox community because of the encroachment of other faiths. The religions that have come in have given the spiritual food to the people that they need. But I think it's the fault of our administration of the church, not only here in the Diocese of Alaska, but the jurisdiction that we are under, have not supplied enough priests But I think that, well, for one thing, money is a factor in this, that we can't travel to every place that we'd like to because of the costs.
The church today, how many members do you estimate you have here in Alaska? I know the church also includes non-Aleuts. They have Eskimos attending the Russian Orthodox Church. Could you tell us about how many people attend the Russian Orthodox Church and how many priests service all these people?
Well, I don't have any statistics to go by, but to approximate how many members we have here in Alaska of all the Alaska natives as well as non-natives who belong to the Orthodox Church might be roughly anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 Orthodox people, and there are roughly 80 churches and chapels throughout the state of Alaska where there was an Orthodox community. Some of these communities have been abandoned and the churches have been torn down, so they might be less than 80 or 90, perhaps. Maybe a good figure would be 65 to 70 churches.
Ed, today you are intimately involved in the church here in the Anchorage area. Could you just tell us a little bit about what goes on in the church? And I'd like to ask you to read a prayer in your Aleut language and then translate the prayer for us, if you could.
I'm involved in the church as first of all, as a Orthodox Christian. And I am the choir director and the reader of our local parish here in Anchorage, the St. Innocent's Orthodox Church. And our membership here fluctuates greatly, but we probably have approximately 200 steady members who live here in Anchorage, but the rest are transients who come here to Anchorage, maybe just passing through or attending school or working for a short period of time. But this is the newest parish in Alaska, which was begun in September of 1967. And we have come a long way. We now have the basement portion of the church built where we conduct our divine services. And in the languages that we use here in our church is more English. We use Slavonic and Aleut and some Eskimo and very little of Greek. And the prayer, or the thrice holy hymn, I will say in the Aleut language. Agum angle radigasada, tungarem angle radigasada, ascharemuluk angle radigasada, nintinitornisada. In other words, this being translated means, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us.
The church today, Ed, I notice, celebrates Christmas and New Year's and other celebrations at a different time than we do. Why is this?
Well, the Russian church, basically, or all the Orthodox churches at one time, were under the Julian calendar, which is different than the Gregorian calendar that's used today. And at this point in time, we are about 13 days behind the Gregorian calendar. For instance, Christmas, the Western Christmas, is celebrated December 25th. But when you count the days, 13 days from that time is January 7th. That's when we celebrate our Christmas. But the trend now is to, in the lower 48, is to go on the new calendar, which would put us in line, would be celebrating Christmas on December 25th instead of January 7th. In fact, there are some churches that have done this already. And I think eventually, probably perhaps not in the near future, this will happen in Alaska. And our Easter does not follow in this manner. Our Easter dates were set up by the First Ecumenical Council in 325 in Nicaea. This had something in relation to do with the vernal equinox and the Jewish Passover. And the Orthodox Church throughout the world celebrate Easter on the same day. And this, the new calendar has nothing to do with it.
Today we have been talking to Mr. Ilyodor Filimonov, an Aleut from St. George Island. Thank you very much for being with us today, Mr. Filimonov.
You're welcome.